And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I'm your host, Tony DeFio. If you're watching me on YouTube, if you stuck with me on YouTube and Facebook, thank you for sticking with me live. If you downloaded part two, I thank you for that. Always appreciated. So I want to see what we have here in the live chat before I move on. And here's one from John Trent, and he says, and this, his name's been brought up in some mock drafts and by some analysts. And John Trent says, Kyle Trask, what do y'all think? I think he's the Florida quarterback, right? And that's an example right there, Kyle Trask. I mean, there's somebody that you would probably, if you're going to draft him, would be like in the second or third round, right? And he would sit this year, you know, behind. If you drafted him, that you're probably going to part with Haskins, I'm guessing, because Mason Rudolph's your experienced backup now. You probably don't want to get rid of him. He doesn't cost you a whole lot. You want to have an experienced backup. So it would be Ben, Rudolph, and then Trask. And let's say Ben retires after this year. Well, now you've already used up 1 year of Trask's rookie deal. So now you have 3 years to find out about that guy. Do you throw him in there next year? And what happens if he has a kind of a, like, if he struggles in 2023, would it be 2023? 2022, I guess. If he's the man in 2022 and he struggles, do you panic and move on? Or do you let him finish out his rookie deal? That's the thing. He would only have really 3 years to prove himself on his rookie deal. Whereas if you get somebody in the first round, somebody with a higher pedigree, then you have, I would use the entire 5 years. Because look at Darnold. By his fifth year, he's costing you, and it's a lot of money, he's costing you $19 million a year, you know, if you decide to pick up that fifth year option. I don't know what it would be for a quarterback at the end of the first round or in the middle of the first round. He was the third overall pick. But still, you know, you're paying, like, he's in his fourth year and you owe him $4.7 million. That's a pretty darn good investment, you know, if he was the real deal by now, which we don't know yet. But if he had evolved to that by this point, he'd probably want a new contract, all, you know, similar to Patrick Mahomes. So that's a good example. You bring these guys in the second and third round and they sit for a couple of years. Well, by the time they get in there, you know, you don't really know about them because they don't get to play because they're behind a really good quarterback. And by the time they get a chance to play, maybe they don't look so good. Is it because they don't have it or because they don't have the experience? And then the clock's ticking and you got to make these decisions, you know, like Mason Rudolph, by the time he becomes a free agent, what is he going to command on the open market? You know, are teams going to be desperate and overpay for him, you know, or are they going to get a bargain? And he turns out to be really, really good. You just don't know because you don't know about Mason Rudolph because he hasn't even had the preseason to prove himself. He had the one preseason, I guess he had two preseasons. He didn't get the preseason last year, obviously, you know, but I mean, even if he did have the preseason to prove himself, it doesn't prove anything. I mean, Landry Jones, excuse me, by the way, he, you know, like Mike Tomlin joked years ago, he had more preseason snaps than any quarterback in the history of the NFL, and it didn't seem to do him any good. Last time I saw him, he was trying to make it in the XFL. So, you know, before it went under. So I don't know. Just me asks, am I the only one who prefers a pocket quarterback? I don't know if it's necessarily that. I don't think it matters if you're a pocket quarterback or if you're mobile. Are you effective? Are you effective? Is your team able to build around you and get the most out of you? That's the key. Like the Ravens were able to build their entire team around Lamar Jackson. It hasn't paid off yet in terms of championship success, but they've been good. He's been an MVP, so, you know, he still has a lot, some things to work on, but, you know, he's their man. And that's their team, and their identity is through Lamar Jackson. Whereas Justin Herbert, you know, he's more of a pocket passer, and, you know, it's only been 1 year, but he looks like he could be something really special as a pocket passer. Although I don't think there's ever going to be a true pocket passer anymore, like Ben or even somebody who's less mobile than that. Somebody just, you know, I think all these quarterbacks have to be somewhat athletic now. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes can run. He's not a runner necessarily, but he can do everything. He can stand in the pocket. He can throw on the run. He can run when he has to. Russell Wilson's been doing that kind of stuff for a long time. So I think those are going to be that's the kind of quarterback, like Baker Mayfield's another one. Very athletic, very, very mobile. That's just where the NFL is heading. And that's the future of the league. That's, you look at all these quarterbacks now, these quarterbacks coming out, they're all kind of like that. They're in that mold. They can run when they have to. They can, you know, stand in the pocket. You know, they can throw on the run. I mean, that's just how the quarter, the position is now. Like the days of Blake Bortles, I think those are coming to an end. I don't think you're going to see those kind of quarterbacks anymore, at least not for a long time. It's just, there's just, defenses are too fast, too good, too strong. You're just not going to see, like those days are coming to an end. It's just, it's becoming more and more like college football now. You know, they're adopting more schemes that like you see in college. It's just more sophisticated, but that's what you're seeing now. So, and it takes me to my last topic, and that is about when you're talking about the draft, when you're talking about drafting for need versus drafting the best player available, value. You know, and I think when people say that, like the other day, Jeff Hartman, he put a poll out. He included a poll in one of his articles, and he listed like what position you think the Steelers should focus on. And it was like, you know, all the positions that are perceived needs, like offensive line, inside linebacker, running back, etc. And somebody wrote, how about none of the above and go for best player available? I think that's how they said it. And you know, when people say that, I gotta laugh because when they're saying that, basically what they're saying is you don't want to reach, like you don't want to, they don't want the Steelers to reach. But other people, when they say that, they take it, they mean it literally. Like they're so they're so intent on getting draft value that the thought of a team passing on a player who's graded higher to take a player who's graded lower just because he feels it turns their stomach. But I mean, you gotta be more reasonable about that kind of a thought process. I mean, it's not, you can't take that literally. Like I saw a couple of mock drafts that had edge rushers going to the Steelers, you know, which is, you take those with a grain of salt, but it still made me laugh because, you know, I realize these people that do these mock drafts, you know, which is everybody now, they probably get bored and they want to mix things up and everything. And it's like, even still, I mean, come on, the Steelers, you know, they need a center. They need, you know, they may need tackles. They could need an inside linebacker. They certainly need a running back. They need a tight end. You know, did I miss somebody? Maybe even a cornerback. I mean, there's so many areas that they can address. And there're going to be so many of those players available when they draft at 24, and it's all going to be close. You know, why would you draft an edge? You know, I mean, it just to me, that's just because he offers you the best value. You know, who cares? Like, I mean, you know, I might be on board with that if Alex Highsmith, you know, was such a raw talent last year that he couldn't even get into any of the games and play, but he did a lot. He showed a lot last year in his rookie year. He made some key plays for them. He showed a lot of promise, a lot of potential. So the need to draft an edge, I mean, that shouldn't even be a consideration, in my opinion, you know, and same with defensive line. I mean, I realize depth might be an issue, but you have three strong starters now that Alulu is back. So, you know, who cares? I mean, focus on those positions later. You know, I mean, I don't care if it's the best edge player left on the board. If it's a close race between the best edge or the best outside linebacker or the best defensive lineman, you know, two areas that the Steelers aren't really weak at least on, you know, that's the perception anyway. If it's close between that and like the fourth best tackle, or even if Creed Humphrey is there, he's the best center. And a lot of people would say that's a reach if they would pick him there at 24. If it's a close race, I'm going with the tackle or the center or the running back, you know, even if you are adamant that you cannot take Creed Humphrey at a center, that would be a major reach. Okay, fine. You eliminate center and you eliminate tight end because after Kyle Pitts, I don't think there's really another first round talent on the board other than the kid from Penn State. He might be a borderline first rounder, but he's more a second round kind of talent. So you eliminate those two, right? So maybe you eliminate corner because you have faith in Sutton, Pierre, and Lane. Okay, but that still leaves tackle. It still leaves inside linebacker, and it still leaves running back. And maybe Zavin Collins is gone. Well, it still leaves tackle and running back. And there's a lot of prospects from both of those groups, both of those positions with first round grades. So I'm not taking an edge. I'm selecting a running back or an offensive tackle. That's what I'm going to do because those guys, those are areas of need. And, you know, let's be real. At least on paper, Lawrence Taylor is not going to be hanging around at 24. You know, maybe, you know, TJ Watt's a great example that you can find a Lawrence Taylor at 31 or 30 or whatever, wherever he was drafted. But on paper, he's not going to be there. The gap between the best edge and the fourth best tackle or third best running back is not going to be that great where you have to go, oh my gosh, we're really reaching here. No, you draft for need. And basically, who's to say what the best player available was anyway? I mean, all these big boards are all over the place. These mock drafts are all over the place. These grades are all over the place. I mean, some people think was it Jalen Phillips could be a stud. Some people think he could be an absolute bust at the prospect from Miami. You know, so who's to say what the best player available is? That's all a matter of opinion. It's all in the eye of the beholder. So I think you go for need as long as it's reasonable. You know, if you want to argue Artie Burns, all right, I get that. Although he was a fringe first round prospect. I mean, Terrell Edmonds was, you know, basically plucked out of thin air. So that's another one that people, I'll give you that. But he's turned himself into a pretty good starter. You know, like Dave Schofield said about a month ago when he was co-hosting with me on this show, he said, you know, I think it was him who said that. It might have been Brian, but I think it was Dave who said if he was a second or a third round pick, nobody would have any problem with Terrell Edmonds because he was picked in the first round and he was a reach. But, you know, those two examples aside, if it's a reasonable prospect, then I have no problem with it. No problem whatsoever. You know, if you're the Super Bowl champ or a great team who doesn't have any holes and you want to go out and draft your starting safety for 2023, fine. But most teams aren't in that. They don't have that luxury. They usually have two or three needs that they have to address when they head into a draft, at least, if not more, as you can see with the Steelers. They have like a half a dozen. So, you know, other than those teams, everybody else is drafting for need. That's why the draft exists in the first place. So teams can improve areas of their roster. That's why it exists. So those are my topics for tonight. And as always, I will take some questions and highlight some comments. So let's see what you guys got here. Here's one from Creex. Follow up on the Kyle Trask question. And he says, Florida does not produce good quarterbacks. And you could say that. I mean, who was the one that started the one Super Bowl? He was only okay. Obviously Tebow was just a media sensation. You know, so yeah, you know, Steve Spurrier, I think he won the Heisman. He never really did much in the pros. He was he couldn't even beat the Buccaneers quarterback. I mean, they were a mess when they were an expansion team in 76, but he couldn't even make it there. So, you know, yeah, there's not many great Florida quarterbacks. Not that really matters, because they were saying Patrick Mahomes was a systems quarterback at Oklahoma State, and obviously he's on his way to the Hall of Fame. So what else we have here? Here's one from John Knox, and he says, I hate to bring up Brady, but he's a pocket passer and has done fairly well. Yeah, well, but he's a dying breed. There aren't many Tom Brady's left out there. I mean, when you're the NFL, you can't just necessarily dictate the college teams produce these kind of quarterbacks, or else. No, you know, the college, let's not forget, big-time college programs, they have pressure to win. So they're going to do whatever they can to win. They're going to use whatever schemes that they can and find the players that fit their, you know, whatever it takes to win, they're going to win. And basically the NFL has to tailor its game around what college is doing now. That's just how it is. So pocket passer, you know, Brady's doing great, but name another quarterback who is and who fits his mold. You know, I mean, once he's gone, then who's going to be able to do that? Who's going to be able to be that kind of quarterback? And here's one from Eric Pereira. It never gets old. He says Jesse James caught that ball, and he did. But, you know, like a lot of things, they changed that rule like 9 minutes too late. It's great for now, but it certainly didn't help the Steelers back then. What else we have here? Just Me says it's all on the line. I don't know if she means the offensive line or the stakes are all on. I don't know what she means. But that's what she says. Let's see if I can find some questions up here. And Bert Tavares asks, any news on Randy Fichter? No. I mean, the only time I see his name pop up anymore, it's people criticizing him. I haven't heard him landing anywhere, but who knows? Maybe he'll pop up somewhere. Here's one from Port Nequimba, talking about how fans are more educated now. That's debatable. But there's certainly more fans that are totally into the draft and know what they're and know what they're talking about as far as where these players are ranked and they watch a lot of film and a lot of tape. And he says fans are so much more educated now. If they have another Artie Burns pick, the fan base will never forgive them. Well, if you mean on draft night, they might be upset. But if they have another pick that's perceived to be like that and he turns out to be a great player, then all is forgiven. So, you know, here's one from John Knox, and this kind of, he says sometimes it's not talent, sometimes it's maturity and the ability to cope as a grown up in a new city does a lot of these guys in. And that kind of, you know, goes along with my point about a lot of these organizations that are just train wrecks whenever these young quarterbacks, they show up. And, oh, you know, here's my head coach. Here's my GM. And then within a year, they're both gone. And their receivers have been traded off for, you know, draft picks or they've been released or they've been, you know, allowed to leave as free agents so they can, you know, as salary dumps or whatever. So, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't help these quarterbacks, you know. But if you get one in a stable organization like Pittsburgh, then, you know, I think they have a much better chance to succeed. And here's one from Explore Your World 2019. I'm thinking Freiersmuth or Collins at 24. I'm thinking lots of offensive linemen and running backs you can get later. Tight end and inside linebacker are scarce, and we could put those two players on the field right away, major contributors. Well, I like both of those players, but I think Collins is more, I think he's more projected to go in the first round than the Penn State tight end whose name I don't want to try to pronounce again, Freiersmuth. I guess I did try to pronounce it again. But, you know, if they can get somebody like that in the second round, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, I think he's a talent. But is he somebody you want to pick in the first round? I don't know. Kyle Pitts, I mean, woo, there's somebody. I've been watching a lot of his highlights. I mean, they're just highlights. And I've been reading a lot about him. There's somebody. That'd be a dream come true if Pittsburgh could land a weapon like that. But, I mean, he's going to be obviously gone by in the top five. There's somebody who maybe if quarterbacks weren't so valuable, he might be the first player taken off the board. That's how good he is, or that's how, you know, he's expected to be. Here's one from Russ Obenstein. It's just a simple hello. He says, what's up, Tony, and all in the chat. We're doing fine, Russ. How about you? Here's one from John Trent, and he says, and this is the this pick's growing in popularity with a lot of Steeler fans, and he says, I think the pick is for me is Javonte Williams, a running back from North Carolina. Yeah, and his draft stock is rising. So I think a lot of people would approve of that pick, Trent. He's exciting a lot of Steeler fans. And here's one from Troy B. He's from Barbados. Troy from Barbados, welcome. Wow, Barbados is a great place. I don't know if I'd be on the internet right now, but I'm sure glad you're here to join us, Troy. And here's one from Russell Perales. And he says, what about the Texas A&M quarterback? I believe that's Kellen Mond, right? A lot of people were excited about him. But, you know, he's projected to go, what, in the second, third, fourth round, something like that. That's another one of those guys like Kyle Trask. You know, he'll probably, if they got him, he would sit. He'd probably be the number three quarterback this year. And then, you know, if you decide to make a commitment to him as your starter, or at least have him compete for the job next year, perhaps with a Mason Rudolph, who you would presumably retain at a pretty cheap price, you've already lost 1 year with him on the bench. Yeah, he would be learning, quote unquote, learning the system, but still there's nothing like practice. And then he would have a couple years to show you what he can do. And then you have to make a decision on him. So like, I like to get my quarterback in the first round, ideally, and then put him in from day one. And like I've been saying, let him see what he can do over the course of 5 years. Maybe you don't have to wait the 5 years. Maybe you find out after 3 years, he's a total waste, a train wreck. He's absolutely has no value whatsoever. And you move on then, but at least you give it a the old college try, so to speak. So that's the way I would do it. But I will say this. I mean, I'm looking forward to 2021 with Ben, but it's going to be one of the most fascinating things that develops with this organization after he does leave. How are they going to handle that situation with replacing him? Are they going to take a quarterback in the first round? Are they going to be aggressive at that time and part with a couple of future first round picks at least, and move up to get the guy that they think can be that man? Are they going to go out and sign a veteran? Like we saw, there's always people available now. I mean, Drew Locke might be available. There's another one that people were high on a couple years ago. Now he might be replaced in favor of one of these new quarterbacks that are coming up. That's what I mean. These teams, they don't give these guys an honest chance, in my opinion. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that situation, because it's something that they really haven't had to worry about in almost two decades. You know, but like I said, I think they're going to give it they're going to place much more importance on finding the next franchise quarterback than they did after Bradshaw retired. They're going to really give it a great effort and do everything they can. Surround him with everything that they can that he needs, from the coaching standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, and they're gonna he's gonna have a chance to succeed here. Even if Colbert retires, whoever the next GM is gonna probably be here for the long haul. That's just how the Steelers do it. So there's always gonna be stability, and that's gonna be a big feather in that unnamed quarterback's cap. I'm just really fascinated to see how they handle it all. So here's one from Eric Pereira. Oh, I love this question because I know who I would pick. And he says, it's not a popular opinion among a lot of people. He says, as of today, who would you pick at 24? I've been saying I would pick Creed Humphrey because I think he's head and shoulders I don't want to say the best center, but he certainly seems like the safest center as far as injury history, starting at Oklahoma. You know, team leader, character, all that stuff. And maybe it would be a bit of a reach. I don't know. But if he comes in and he starts for 10 years, how can you say it's a reach, right? If he's your starting center for the next 10 years, if he continues that tradition, and obviously there are no guarantees, that's who I would pick right now. If it was between Creed Humphrey, three or four of those offensive tackles, Zavin Collins, one of those running backs, I would pick Creed Humphrey because I think you can get there are a lot of tackles that are probably going to fall into the second round. You could probably get one of them. As far as inside linebacker, I think they're better off at that position than they are at center currently. So if you have to pass on a Collins, then there's some prospects in that go in the second or third round that you can maybe find inside linebacker. And as far as running back, I mean, you know, there's more and more people are starting to say some great things about Trey Sermon from Ohio State. So maybe you don't get Najee Harris or Etienne or Javonte Williams, but maybe you can get somebody else in a second or third round who can be a really, really productive back for you for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, so I would pick Creed Humphrey right now. That's who I would take. I'm not saying he's the best player, but I'm saying as far as what they need the most, I think it's a center. And I think, you know, he's the only one that you could can realistically take in the first round without people blowing their stack and without it seem like a major reach. That's who I would go with. So, well, I feel like I've had a lot of energy tonight. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I've been running a lot lately and sprinting. So I'm have all this my endorphins are high. I don't know. Anyway, on that weird note, I'm gonna call it a night. And I thank you all for joining me, and I thank you for the questions. And it was a fun show. And I can't wait to talk to you on Monday on the hangover with Brian. So you all have a great weekend. And if it is the weekend, if you're listening on the audio, I hope it continues to be a great weekend. And until I see you next time, go Steelers, and you all take care.